Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, this is a message from your host, Vic Slayton. Thank you for enjoying Comedy Arcade with me. It's been an absolute joy to share these Edinburgh Fringe episodes with you, and there's another one on its way. But first, a quick message. Do you think you might want a little bit more of me in your ears? Now, I can't actually hear your answers, but I'm assuming yes. Good news if so. I have just launched a brilliant new podcast called False Economy with my good friend Paul Watson, where we delve into the shopping habits of some of the great and the good of comedy, entertainment, and sports. It's a really, really fun concept, and I really hope you come with me on it. If you are interested, just search False Economy wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks. Welcome to the Comedy Arcade, part friendly panel show, part vicious competition, where contestants fight with their best anecdotes on mystery topics generated through a trusty bingo ball. I'm Vic Slayton, host of the show, spirit of the bingo balls, and games master. Points will be awarded for originality, amusement value, and my general caprice and mood on the day. The contestant with the most points at the end of the game wins, but their opponents will be granted a few cheat codes along the way, just to keep it interesting.
Good evening, people of Edinburgh. Welcome to the Comedy Arcade. Will you please welcome the stage your host for the evening? It's Vic Slayton!
Hello, everybody. I'm Richard Gill. This is Richard Gill, everybody. Everybody, Richard Gill. So if you're... Sorry to the people in the blast zone that are going to get the full benefit of that. Oh, hello, this is nice. Look at all you people, all presumably loyal listeners of the Comedy Arcade podcast, yes? Yeah. You liars. I do this question every night, and when there aren't cameras in here, it is a very different thin on the ground story. But I want to believe you. I want to believe you're all listeners. But just for the people who've maybe had a knock on the head and have forgotten all the rules, I'm going to bring out my co-anchors, and we're going to explain them all to you in a comedic way. It's comedic because they still don't really know. So without further ado, it is my right-hand man, Rich Wilson, and the queen of quiz, Jenny Ryan.
It's not usually such a stack of beverages here. I have to say, Vix, it did sound like you said co-wankers.
I mean,
it's not that far.
Maybe I did. Right, so we're going to test you on the rules then. You haven't brought your notes, Jenny, but I feel like you wanted to speak.
It's all up here.
Right. All right. We'll start with you. What's the game?
The game is a bingo ball caller thing. I don't know what it's called, really. This spins round. It will eject a bingo ball at random with a number. You all know bingo numbers between 1 and 90.
Yeah, but I've only got 50 categories.
Oh. And that will determine what the category is. It could be a question about anything, and we have to say something good, and Vix arbitrarily scores it.
Yes. Woo! I can be flattered, I can be bribed, and I frequently will let the most good-looking person win. So...
I've not won yet.
Shock.
Only half the people are laughing because they're worried that it's true. Right. Rich, would you like to explain the paddle system?
Yeah. Ooh, I wasn't expecting that.
So we have paddles. And what we need are, we need three people in the audience to be our paddle people.
Yes.
All right.
That's right. Paddle people.
Now,
it's
to anyone who doesn't know, that loud voice right there was Richard Gill, the ultimate comedy fan, who's got a blog as well. What's your blog called, Richie? It's Come on, get it out.
A rich comic.
There you go, mate. Blog. All right, mate, it's going to cost you 50 grand in advertising, mate. So I need three people to be our paddle people. Right, so who wants to be a paddle person?
Yes.
He's going to have to be. Right, okay. What colour would you like?
Give me red.
Ooh, powerful choice.
This is Mike, everybody. Round of applause.
Hi, Mike. Mike, the paddle person.
Explain red.
It's a good one. Your name's not Mike anymore. Your name is New Balls.
Hey!
Now, what you can do, Malicious Mike, is if at any point you're not enjoying an anecdote for whatever reason, maybe you're bored, maybe you don't like the panelists and you want someone else to win, maybe you asked them out and they said no. For whatever reason, we don't have to hear about it. You can raise new balls. They must stop immediately and we move on.
It is brutal.
Don't I know it? Yeah. Last night, three words into my anecdote, it was gonna be good,
and now we'll never get to know.
Three nights on the bounce as well.
But three words was a new record.
Sexism.
We were all too polite to say that, but you just went there. Okay.
Hey, listen, I'm pointing it out.
This is why we're sharing a microphone.
It's pre-editing.
Richard. Hello. What colour would you like? Green or yellow?
Yellow.
Ooh. Explain.
Mellow yellow.
It's the comedian's favourite. This is the double points paddle. If you are particularly enjoying a comedian story at any time, you can only play it once. Double the points will double their points.
Or if you're
not laughing.
You don't have to be laughing.
We don't care.
It's
not all about you, Richard. It's not all about you, Richard.
Are we going to have someone from the West Wing?
Paddle person over there for symmetry purposes.
For the left wing.
He wants to be green over there. Yes.
Yes.
Oh. What's your name? Amy, everybody.
Come on, Amy. It's not easy being green, Amy.
It's so easy being green.
It's so powerful.
You've got the ultimate power of the game, Amy. You can play that paddle once at any time. I will randomise the scores.
Brute machine.
So that means Jenny could be telling banging anecdotes all night.
If I'm allowed to get through them.
It's not likely, but it could happen. That paddle gets raised. Rich could still win. So, should we introduce our panellists?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, you want me to do it? Who am I going to bring out first?
Whoever you like, love.
Because they're both brilliant. They are both brilliant.
There's three empty chairs, mate.
It's not brilliant.
Oh, that was so Freudian.
Oh, sorry. It's three. They are all brilliant. I have worked and admired them all for many, many years. It is an absolute joy to have them all here. So please go wild for Mark Watson. Yeah. Angela O'Neill. Yeah. And Scott Bennett.
Yeah. Wowzers.
Are you all well? This is not a strong start for a chat show.
I don't think that's relevant.
Oh, God.
Because we're not well.
This was an easy starter question. Look at your faces.
I'm quite concerned about what that chipboard corridor's done to people.
What were you doing back there?
Asbestos or something back there.
If we were perfectly well, we wouldn't be here, Vic.
No.
It's true.
I saw chipboard corridor in 1986.
You're not wrong. I love their first EP.
Oh, God. I haven't written down the scorings yet. Hang on.
A lot of injuries.
Have you had a good day, Andrew?
Yeah, it's been good.
Some is there some?
I know
there's more panellists than usual. You can't just have small talk by yourselves.
It's a big old panel. I'm barely on the stage here.
Well, the thing is, we've given him a chance. He's up and coming. I think you're going to be a big deal. Like,
I mean, fucking nail this. I could get rebooked. Yeah.
I've got something that happened. My wife and children turned up unannounced at the Fringe to surprise me and burn through. Yeah, after. Yeah. you look a bit like me.
Revived Cilla Black just for the occasion.
No, you haven't even got a ball out yet. You've already launched an anecdote.
I haven't even got a ball out. I have. I've got two kids. I've proved it twice. I've filled two prams.
He's got a penis.
IVF, actually.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't, mate.
But they are proceeded to burn through any possible profit I would have made. It's already annoying me, you know.
How many hours they've been here?
They've been here 2 days, and within 13 minutes, they both had their hair braided on the Royal Mile.
What
50 quid?
Yeah, that's you making a loss overall.
She charges by the inch.
That's the profit you'd make from a sellout show at the Pleasance, right?
I said to her before she had it done, I said, come here, let me cut your hair. Braid that, mate. They've both had a flat top. Braid that.
Yeah. Bringing up bald next year, I think.
Yeah. Totally. So, yeah.
Well, that's a strong preamble bit there, Scott. You're already 6 points on the board.
Oh, really?
Yeah. What?
I was just trying to be natural.
Yeah. Well, it's working. He's very virile. He knows how to play the game. This is going to be excellent, right?
You get points just for having kids. I've got two coming up tomorrow. Give me a couple of points.
I adopted one. That's got to be worth two.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
I'm going to give you that.
I'll adopt yours in a minute.
Mine are adults.
Yeah. Minus points.
No, that means they survived.
Yeah. And unfortunately,
life choices.
Unfortunately, well, according to my mum, I am barren.
You can't new balls when there's no ball in play. All right,
I just wanted to chime in on the child chat.
You don't hear the word barren that often these days.
We saw Sarah Barron's show earlier. Actually, it was very funny.
Oh, that's what I meant. I am Sarah Barron in disguise.
Well, this is facing the wrong way.
This is a powerful beginning.
This is going great. This is going great.
B&M do some great shit, don't they?
Excuse me, this is TK Maxx.
Is it?
I was going for the range, but wow.
This TK is not Maxx. A bingo ball. This is like a bougie ball or something. Good, you bought it for me.
It's called Blingo.
Is it?
Blingo.
I think it's what...
That can fuck off, can't it?
I agree, that can fuck off.
I feel queasy.
Yeah.
That's like Vajazzle territory. That's not good.
Right, it's ball number eight. And it's petty grievances. So we've started strong with my blingo ball. It's apparently a problem to my beloved book guests. Anyone else got a petty grievance?
I hate it when you're in a South American country and you've been walking for 3-4 days, right? And there's a well, right? And it's just not been maintained.
Right? I was going to do that if you hadn't.
You're like, I'm so thirsty. I've been preserving my water. I've got a little bit left. I've done all right. I think I could make it, but I'm so thirsty. Yeah. It's a well. Oh, someone has gone to the trouble of digging down into the water table. And then since it was created... complete lack of investment and upkeep. The water's dirty.
This is why I never trek across Venezuela these days.
Mate, fucking, I've stopped. Honestly, I've stopped. I'd rather not have seen the well. Yeah. Grind my gears.
Listen to your privilege. Those poor people. And you turn up. This hasn't got a sink. You're like.
I've got. Oh, do you, can we go straight on?
You go for it, Scott. You're a go-getter.
Sorry, related. I think it's about time that they stopped putting weather reporters in the eye of a storm. Because we get it, don't we? I don't know what they're trying to prove anymore. You just need to look outside. It's the weather. They think they're war reporters. They think they're getting a Pulitzer Prize. They love it. You see them loving it.
You see him heading into F5s going, fucking, this is the day. Clinging onto fence panels in cagoules. Shitting themselves. Telling us not to travel if less it's necessary. You stay in, I've gone nowhere.
Weather, offended weather reporter.
No, it's gone already, look. It's gone to find a hurricane.
It's too real for some people, and that's just how it goes.
But
it's like when there's been a murder, and then the rolling news person is there like 24 hours later, yeah. And they're still there, and you're like, yeah. There's not going to be another one. you probably can just do this from the studio now.
Stood in front of the police tape. Just.
And on this spot. Yeah, no, I believe
you.
The murderer's not there lurking, going, hope no one sees me.
Well, oh, but they have been. They have been, haven't they? Famously.
What annoys me as well is that they're always going like, oh, it's really treacherous. And it's like, you know, and there's always that. This is the thing that as well annoys me is when the weather starts to become the news. And then when there's the floods and stuff, and you always see it, and it's always a bloke. It's always a bloke in the background kayaking to work. And there's some people who live for that moment when people are sandbagging and shitting themselves, filling out insurance forms. He thinks, get the kayak, Marjorie.
I'll tell you who it is. It's Bullseye Winners.
It is. Yes. You're right.
I've lived 250 miles up nearest beach, and finally my day's come.
Do you know what? Bullseye. Do you know what Bullseye was missing? Fucking global warming. That's
They were so ahead of their time, weren't they? retro technology and boats.
Absolutely amazing. You'll need this when the Thames barrier breaks.
I saw the opposite way around. I was in Spain a couple of weeks ago. I'm doing well. And
Are you on a cruise ship?
I was getting on the cruise ship to work. I might get to cruise ship later because it's all I can think about because I've still got my sea legs. I don't know what time zone I'm in.
Time to Spain.
They were.
Edinburgh Fringe is like Las Vegas. Yeah. You can drink all the time, or an airport. 7 a.m. pint. It's great.
I've not seen a clock in a week.
What are the wells like in Spain?
Yeah. Well,
because there's nothing worse, is there?
They were having an unseasonable heat wave, much like the UK, right. And they'd sent out the weather reporter onto the beach.
Yeah,
to prove it. It was the Spanish GMB, and all the people in the studio were men, and the only female reporters were the weather reporters, and they'd sent this woman out to the beach in Alicante to report on the heat wave that was already occurring at 7 a.m. And the cameraman spotted a middle-aged woman taking her bikini top off. This is 7 a.m. and just panned around and followed her as she walked into the sea while the poor weather reporter was trying to talk about how dangerous the weather was and everyone should stay indoors.
It's like a reverse Bond girl, wasn't it?
It really was.
It's like the wrong way, isn't it?
Honey Ryder was going back to where she came.
Where she's walked out the sea and gone, he's a toxic masculine prick, I'm off back.
Ursula Regress.
Yeah, you can see points for that. Of course,
very good, very good.
Get more respect from the dolphins, thank you. After you.
I didn't think I had a petty grievance, but the other day I was in a coffee shop, and what is great is when they ask your name and then they scrawl it on the side of the cup, and then it's really funny to hear them trying to say the name or what they think it is. Do you know what they do now? This one, it printed a label off. Oh. Yeah. Printed a fucking label. Why? This is why we can't have nice things. I hate that kind of bullshit where they just go, oh, this is more efficient. No, it's fun.
Do you know what name I asked for in Starbucks?
What?
HMRC.
here's 1,000 espressos.
They hate scrolling on the...
mine's coffee related as well, though, now I've thought of it. Huh? I can't tell now because of coffee snobbishness and reverse snobbishness. If you go in and ask for an Americano, sometimes they look at you, go, do you want milk with that?
What's the right answer?
Yeah. I'm like, I asked for an Americano. That means a black coffee, right? But do I say yes or no? I don't want to offend you if you're a coffee snob. But maybe it's just in this this particular coffee shop, it naturally comes with milk. You have to ask for it as a black coffee. And so that's why I don't have caffeine.
Or when they say to you, would you like these like special beans that we're doing? You go, what is it about my accent that makes you think I know the fucking difference?
Or do you want chocolate on the top of your cappuccino? I ordered a cappuccino, friend. Of course I want...
They always say to me, because I say, can I have another shot, an extra shot? And they go, it's got 3 shots in it. I go, yes.
I'm aware.
Look in the back seat, mate.
Did I set up?
There's 2 car seats here.
I don't know if he's told you, he can fill 2 prams.
2 car seats.
With what he's not set.
2 car seats. 1 for each testicle. Yeah. I throw them over my shoulder.
Oh, dear me.
That is a lot of semen. Is that how it works? So people with 4 kids have got 4 balls?
Yeah. Can anyone confirm?
I didn't think I had, but actually, if everyone's talking about hot drinks, this is so petty, this is nonsense, really. But, like,
you can go your own way.
Well, I just, like... These people are so harmless. I've got no business having a crack at them. But, you know, people on Twitter that are just too into having cups of tea. Fuck me. Every morning you'll go on Twitter and someone's going, oh, thank God, the first cuppa of the day. You've still got a shit life. But you'll see, if you follow the wrong people, you'll see an average of a dozen tweets a day that go, whoa, what a day. But is there any problem tea can't solve? Yeah. fucking obviously cancer, but like almost all problems can't be solved. Tea is just fine. You have it and you fucking get on with it.
I do think Putin will back off if he had a cup of Yorkshire tea, though.
Well, I mean, we've tried everything else.
Yeah, I think when you actually get that double bagged, so it leaves a stain on the enamel.
Oh, we're about to say with you and
I had no idea there was tea Twitter.
Oh, God. No idea. Mate, there is.
I was in a fucking steampunk band. I've had more tea references in one lifetime than anyone can cope with. Yeah. It's not an identity, it's a drink.
Exactly.
It's like people that wear t-shirts with the logo of the 90s sitcom Friends. Do you know what I need you to know about me? You know that sitcom that everyone watches and most people quite like? That's me all over, that is. Yeah.
But like, even that is a sort of, at least that's a show with an identity. Tea is just, tea, you have it by accident.
Yeah.
And it's just, you have tea because there's fuck all else to do.
Do you know, like my parents, it's always amazing because my mum and dad, like my dad used to, coffee in his day was like a shit instant. Mm. And I think instant's lost. Instant is someone who's got shit to do. Yeah. Give me an instant. Yeah. Instant. I've got stuff to do. I'm not waiting around. And like when I see my mum and dad in a coffee shop, my dad still doesn't quite understand what's going on. he sort of walks around just going, what do you mean? They're just sat, they're sitting, drinking coffee. Why? Why have they all stopped their lives?
You have to go to a special building to have coffee.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you why, Scott. Because of fucking Friends. That's why. Yeah.
He never. He wasn't aspiring to be in a New York apartment. His best cup of coffee, he still says, was at a car boot in Doncaster. He still stands by it. Shits on Costa. That
still got the styrofoam cup.
Yeah, on the mantelpiece.
Instant coffee is a fucking class issue. I grew up not knowing that instant coffee wasn't just what coffee was.
Yeah.
Because I got working class parents. Yeah. And then you go out, look, but they put what? But it's not just a spoonful of...
This
there's
is
no
the
joke
thing.
Here. I'm just fucking... No. What? So they... What? My mum thought she was posh. Which is like four
high...
Oh,
yeah, Red Mountain. You know. That's what Charles from Buffy told us. You were going next door for it. That's a dated reference, isn't it? Fucking hell.
I still can't get used to when I go home to Yorkshire to hearing a Yorkshire accent order coffee. Like they go up and they go, can I have a caramel macchiato? And you're like, no. The Italians, this is not for you.
Now, the category is petty grievances, and we've been talking about tea for 20 minutes. So
I do remember the first time I was handed a cafetiere.
Vix, we're not getting past hot drinks tonight.
I was with, I was staying at, so this is years ago, I stayed at their house and went downstairs and she said, look, you make the coffee, I'm going to have a shower. And I just stood there going, oh, I don't fucking know. She went, oh, you need this. And just handed it to me. Like she'd given me Hellraiser's box. I was like looking at it like that.
No tears, Rich. It's a waste of good suffering.
So many things to show you.
I love the idea you were doing it upside down at first. Oh, beautiful.
It's supposed to be on the floor.
I just left.
Threw it in the ground, smashed it. Fuck off.
We will move on, right?
Just fancy a tea now.
Oh, yeah.
Are you a tea person?
Solves everything.
Last one of the day, always the best.
Oh, yeah. Can't wait for the first one tomorrow morning.
Hey, if we have one now, technically in 5 minutes, it'll be the last of the day and the first of the morning.
Oh, I can't wait.
On the stroke of midnight. Oh.
Have a nice cup of tea, go for a walk, think about a fox, be fucking lame.
Oh, yeah.
It's always tea o'clock somewhere.
Exactly. Yeah.
I've got that on a tea towel.
It's like Cinderella. A tea Cinderella. Oh, you got till midnight. Down it! If you don't down the coffee, it turns into an instant.
It's your own time you're wasting. That's
it's these people's.
Yeah,
it's true. We're not getting out of here until I've done my 5 planned categories. So strap in, everyone. Right, Paul is, it's worst gigs, and I will allow worst jobs as well as worst gigs. So it doesn't have to be gigs like a show. So it's a nice open category.
So I've been a comedian for 18 years. So yeah, I've had a few zingers. I remember there was once this guy it was a group of lads, and he just hated me, just hated everything about me. And every time I was emceeing as well, so every time I walked out, I'd go, hey, welcome back. And he just stood up and went, shite! And then turned his chair away from me, and he's back to me the whole time. And his mates, he got to the room. The whole room was with me and just hated him. And he just went with it. And he got to the, there was one point he walked out to the toilet going, prick! And just went, he hated me, just despised me.
Tell you what, the Guardian are rude, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah.
Rude. Still read like a 4-star.
It was definitely a class issue, I tell you.
I watched the moment a fellow comic gave up and saw it on stage.
In his eyes, you could see it all.
We were doing a gig. It was in Kent somewhere, which is the worst place in the world to gig. And
I'm from there.
Yeah, fuck it. Awful. Yeah. Anyway, so it was a gig, and it was a Christmas gig, big round tables. The MC was being heckled to fuck. The first act. I actually had a good gig, but that's not the story. It's just because I'm a horrible cunt. Went out and shouted at someone. So the comedy was having a hard time. The first act, who I thought was like really solid, and then the middle act, he's a friend of mine, and he went out, and he's a sort of Daniel Kitson influenced, very sort of like really good, really inventive, really funny, but fragile. And this was a fucking right. He went out. And this bloke went, so I suppose you're gay as well, referring to the compere. And he went, well, I'm bisexual. And they went, whoa, oh, fucking hell, right? And then he, at one point he mentioned a taxi and the whole crowd cheered, right? And then the worst part, right, there were Christmas crackers that had been pulled on all the tables. And one bloke went round, gathered up the jokes and handed them to him.
Oh, mate.
That's more than a heckle. That's a concept heckle. Yeah. That's a heckle project.
It's like fucking. Wow. It's like cracker. Yeah. Trying to get a confession out of someone.
I just added a new column for this person because he got some points for that. That's funny.
He's a lovely man, and there was a part I just saw his strings cut. He just went. Yeah. And then I went out and just laid into one bloke for half an hour. And it was a draw.
I think it's always weird when people say he died. They died. They died. That's in no other industry. That's final, isn't it? There's no recovery. It's like they died. It's done.
It is how you feel, though.
It is nobody. But you won't have a plumber around, and you go, "How is he getting on with the bathroom?" Oh, he died on his arse. Yeah. There's a towel rail radiator on the roof.
You very rarely. You don't often boo the plumber out of the door,
yeah,
do you?
Yeah. Come on, mate, you shit, mate.
Yeah.
Don't give up the day job.
Get away from my toilet, mate.
Yeah, yeah.
Heard it, mate. Heard it. I've heard it, mate.
Where did you learn to plumb? Yeah, in the school bathroom?
Yeah. You're not getting on live at the bathroom, mate.
Yeah, mate. It is. It's so final. There's no recovery, is there?
The mass psychology is incredible, isn't it?
Mm.
You could, like, literally, I mean, like, I used to, you know, back when I did Jonglers, there was a Jonglers in Covent Garden. It was two different rooms, and it was like two different universes. I had one of my best gigs ever to my career to date in the first room. Just a really nice gig, packed in like this. Had a really nice gig. Did exactly the same set upstairs. Died so hard. And I literally went, I just did these jokes downstairs and they liked them.
Yeah.
Like, it was so far beyond redemption. Yeah. I was just like, come on.
Yeah.
You're just wrong.
That gig is famous in the industry and it's called The Abattoir because it's where comedians go to die. Yeah. It's fucking horrible.
No one warned me.
At that same gig, I was emceeing Tom Rigglesworth. Died downstairs, got booed off. We went upstairs. He's in the middle of getting booed off again. Right? The show manager, and I, like, Tom Rigglesworth is one of the best comedians out there. He's fantastic.
Yeah, he's amazing.
But they didn't go with him, booing him off again, and he didn't give a shit. He just kept going. He's going, I'm not going anywhere until you're all booing. And he kept going.
and then
the show manager is screaming in my ear, get him off. I went, it isn't my job to get him off. He has to come off. I'm not going up there to get him. He has to come off. So he eventually goes, right, good night, comes off. As we always do, we always shake hands, nice one, mate, or whatever. We go, fucking hell. Right? He went, I'll give him some more. I went, all right, mate.
Double points.
Yeah. And I went back on, and I went, did you enjoy that? Boom. Give it up for Tom Rigglesworth, and he came back on. The show manager was apoplectic with rage. She was like, what are you doing? Comedy, babe. Look it up.
Come on.
Dickhead.
It's an art.
My favourite ever moment was watching Tom Rigglesworth. This is, I was an open spot, so it means you do like 10 minutes. It was the Lescar in Sheffield. Right. And he was doing like an Edinburgh preview. It's the funniest thing I've ever seen. So he was doing an Edinburgh preview. There's a couple down here. Well, there's like three ladies down here. Hammered, just talking all the way through. And he just sort of stops. Tom, he's so polite. He says, look, I'm about 15 minutes in. It's an hour show. You're clearly not enjoying it. It's been a bit of a mismatch. He says, if you go now, it won't interrupt the flow of the show, and you know there's not a problem, and everyone's like, yeah, that's fine. So it's really amicable. So they go out, right? So he carries on with the show, and about half an hour later, the door slams open, and this massive bloke at the back who looks like he could bench press this on micros. It was huge, right? And he just shouted, "Oi, cunt!" Right? And Tom, without batting an eyelid, just went, "I think this is for me." It was, and then he said, this guy got into a conversation. They had to get this guy out the building, right? That, and then he just says, I don't know who he was, but what projection?
Amazing.
He said, it was like a Sheffield Brian Blessed, this bloke.
Oh,
the
beautiful
way he just dealt with it. Oh,
he's amazing.
I've seen that thing of a comedian that like, is going so badly that all they can do is just go longer to double down it. I did. Again, it'll be known to some people in this room. I was tour support for Paul Foot early in my career, and it's the only person that, like, even with his own audience, sometimes it goes so badly. And but he's absolutely fine with it. He's just like, and he's quite a strange, like, he's an unusual guy, Paul. And he, for example, on the first time I ever supported him, He'd on the way home, it was a long way home, his gig was in Lincolnshire, 3-hour drive home, but he had a pork pie, and he had a specific spot on the motorway that he wanted to eat it in. we went nearly an hour out of our way just so we could eat this pie, and he was like, yeah,
wow.
Lovely place to eat this pie. I didn't have any food, I'm poor thing.
Did you have a location in mind should food happen?
Yeah. I was looking at, like, just outside Swindon, yeah. And
I thought you meant slow lane, middle lane, fast lane.
No, he literally. But yeah, I just, similar to the Rigglesworth story. I did a show with him in Yorkshire, and like they come to see him. I was just a support, but he had this he had a joke about September the 11th, and it's fair to say, I was going to say it divided the room, but it didn't. They were united. And people like walking out, demanding refunds. I was a support actor. I was just like milling around, and people coming up to me going, this is a disgrace, where, like, all of this. And by the end, about three quarters of people had left. And sure enough, he went, like, again, like Rigglesworth, he went on longer. He did like an hour and a quarter, and then he finished by saying, "You can, if you've seen Paul Foot, you can imagine it. There's nothing with stand-up comedy. Sometimes it goes very well, sometimes it goes very badly. And tonight it's gone very well." it's just like, I've never seen anything like it. And then we drove out of town, and we stopped at a petrol station, and he rang his manager, and as he does every night after a show, and said, just to let you know, as usual, how the gig went, it was a disaster. And he just put the phone down. I imagine his manager getting that at midnight, thinking, fucking hell, Paul.
There was another time with Tom Rigglesworth. No, because he's such a dude. He's
he
like,
really is.
He found some big red clown shoes in the green room of the Comedy Store, and he went, I'm going to put these on. And he put them on, and he wandered out, didn't mention them throughout his entire set. But because Tom's really tall and skinny, they just look like his shoes.
I'm just a size 24.
Yeah, they just suited him.
Boy, can that boy lean.
I tell you, the worst thing in comedy is the overheard comment. So
I think it's the
I wish I could get overheard, lads.
But like you walking back, I've had it when I've been walking back to the green room and the audience is in front of you, or walking through the venue and you can hear them discussing the night, and you're behind them, and they're going, "What do you think of the first person?" You're like, "Oh yeah," and then I just have to go, "I'm behind you. I was on the bill."
Yeah, like you need to declare yourself before any damage is done.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It makes you want to gip, doesn't it?
I was in the ladies' toilets in Spank last week, and the same thing happened. These girls came in and they're like, "Oh, what do you think of that Welsh girl?" And I was like, "I'm on the toilet. Do I shout out now to let them know I'm here, or risk my own feelings?"
Well, wait for the review.
Yeah, but the review was like, "Oh, she's from Cardiff. I'm from there." I was like, "That's fine."
I heard someone come out of a show and go, "Matt, not for me," but then I don't really like shows. So I think, maybe you've not come to the right thing here.
So I did. It also town the Mannix are from.
Blackwood.
Yeah. The Blackwood Miners Institute. Oh. I was opening, and it was kind of like. For about half the show, it was fine. It was like a 5 out of 5 show. And then I just suddenly lost them. I didn't really know why. And as it turned out, I was dressed sort of like masculine. And then someone said, "You look like a woman." And I went, "Well, I'm a transvestite." And that apparently lost the room. And then I kind of clawed it back. It was so horrible. I hated it. And then in the interval, I sort of had a look at them. And I thought, oh, actually, I can sort of see why, without showing them what it is. You know, I go on like dressed like this and talk about it. That's one thing. Anyway, so that was that sort of thing. And I sort of fucking really hated them. And George Egg was closing and he's brilliant. And I went, "You'll like the next act. He's very visual," right? And then Ray Peacock was comparing when you should have, he said, so Ray Peacock goes, so this woman at the back apparently went, "So is that a woman?" And this is not like, you know, I've actually been back and the audience haven't been like that. But I fucking hate them. This woman who'd heckled me, right? "You look like a woman," like this, right? I couldn't watch George inevitably do really, really well, right? Because he's fucking brilliant. So I just went for a bit of a wander and I went to the cash point and I came around just as everyone's coming out, right? Now this, for reference, is a tattoo of Peter Cushing, okay? That's a tattoo of Peter Cushing, all right? The actor Peter Cushing. You know what he looks like, right? So this woman who had been heckling me said, "I've got to ask, is that Boris Karloff?" And I went, "Yeah." She went, "I knew I was right!" And not stop. Having had the best night of her life.
Do you know, this isn't a boast.
This is when women can't get a word in. Yeah. We live in the comedy dream here.
As it should be!
I mean, while we're all audience blaming here. Yeah. I don't know, that was such a rough topic to come up when we've got a panel of stand-up comedians and me. So that
you
was going to go
on a
while.
You never had a bad night on the chase?
Well, I'm going to tell you about the cruise. Rich knows about performing on a cruise ship.
Yeah. But we're not going to let him tell you because he's had his time.
So I've just come back. I was doing a cabaret show, 45 minutes posting a cabaret show. I do 6 songs, talk about my life. It's perfectly crafted, funny anecdotes, timed to be exactly 45 minutes. It is tight as anything. And we did the first night, and then we had to discuss it, me and my MD, because we realised we had to verbally give the crowd permission to make sounds. Because audiences on a cruise, they've never been to shows before.
They don't like
at
shows.
At the beginning, they don't like shows. That reminded me of it. No, the thing is, they love shows. They were absolutely dead silent all the way through. Got nothing, not even a cracked face. Wow. And at the end, like 24 people came up and said, "That's the best thing I've seen in ages. That was amazing. I loved it." So the next day, I had to add in a bit where I say, "This is a cabaret night. This is not the RSC. As you can see, I'm wearing a sequin jumpsuit, so it's not King Lear. You can make noise. You have permission to laugh if things are funny." And then the next night, I had to add, "If you need to go to the toilet, you don't need to put your hand up and ask for permission."
Fucking hell.
I mean, they were lovely, lovely audiences, but when you have to tell them, they can laugh.
It's like gigging in Denmark.
Ironically enough, one of the gigs was in Denmark.
I've never had a low laughs to that was amazing ratio like in Denmark. They laugh like this.
Very appreciative.
We had those people in the front, didn't we, the other day, but they left. So presumably they enjoyed it so much they couldn't take any more halfway through
Danish
the show.
Danish comedy capacity.
Yeah.
Run off to draw Muhammad. Jerry Sadowitz can sell out
level.
An entire tour.
Right, we've done one and, let's face it, half category. And we're done. So,
Vix, what are the points repercussions if...
Boot machine!
Uh-oh, fruit machine has been played. The dice are coming out. Oh, Vix's rainbow dice.
Full disclosure, I thought this would be much more fun than it actually is every time we've done it. This is very boring, but...
It's admin.
Nonetheless,
it's
we
basically
play on,
admin.
Right. You all need to roll your dice now.
Come on,
you
natural
can roll
six.
In the second wave, because I only have four.
Fucking hell.
Okay.
This is great for listeners.
Well, no,
I love that they've got the numbers written on them, not the dots.
I can know because you've just passed me an anonymous dice. How am I supposed to know? Die. One die. Yep, you're right. Right.
So it's more like sadmin.
Yeah. Okay.
There you go, alienating our D&D playing brethren.
Imagine.
Stranger Things makes this look much more fun than it really is.
Yeah,
isn't it?
This feels like Christmas Day playing games. No, it feels like Christmas Day playing games around a dad's house who's lost access to his kids. It feels so bleak.
I can hear you, Scott.
I know, yeah.
It's a really strange choice to criticise the host's way of doing things at this point. At
yeah,
this
it might be costly.
Still lose points.
Might be costly.
Yeah, all right. Only I get to know this now. Yeah. Right, we've got a little bonus round because the Fringe Society took away the Edinburgh Fringe app and so people can't find the good small shows. So, bonus round. We'll start with Mark when he's finished opening that beer.
At this point, full disclosure, I thought I had another wine. But Jenny's had it, and I've been fantasising about nicking that for the whole of the for half an hour. But I didn't know what would happen.
What can I say? I got thirsty during one of your many stories.
You absolutely.
But please don't drop the mics because we've got a deposit on it.
Mic drops.
It's pop shields.
And the Fringe mic drops are very costly. Yeah.
Anecdotes, not for me.
Mark, recommend some shows that people might not have heard of that aren't sold out. That is the brief. People have got it wrong every night. They've got to be tickets you can see. They've got to be people that you wouldn't have heard of before.
All right, Vix. Well, I don't know what this will do to the points, but I recommend your solo show.
Two Licks.
2:40 at... it's
the Mash House Attic.
Yes,
yeah.
The Mash House, which is... in terms of well-run venues, it's but anyway, do go right there.
It's still standing. I mean, that's
it's right up there.
Yes, your show.
It's right up some stairs. You mean?
Yeah.
That's why it's the attic. Yeah.
This is delightfully unassuming 45 minutes of comedy, and also you sometimes have people as
I have better known comedians supporting me to try and get the numbers in. Full disclosure.
She's actually really good. She's constantly doing down her own stand up show because she wants more exposure for this, but it shouldn't be at the expense of a solo show because she's very talented stand up. Okay, cool.
Yes.
Get your notepad out.
I think you got a six. with me aside though, there's definitely space if you want to come. I'm not saying it's not doing well, but you fit. There's any other shows you'd recommend?
Well, last night I saw a guy who does. It's like sort of a magic show, and it's all to do with the Rubik Cube, and he solved the Rubik Cube in about 20 different ways. But do you know what his name is? Tom Crosby.
Tom Crosby.
It was bloody amazing, but I don't know his name, so it's limited recommendation, really. But we're hearing it's Tom Crosby. He was ever so
good.
David
had your back. Yeah. That's fine.
Oh, it's unbelievable. He just threw it up in the air, and a bird brought it back, and it was done. It's
just like, you can't call him that anymore, Mark. That's right.
You can't say anything, can you?
I'm still allocating points, by the way. But yeah, there's a clear winner so far, Scott.
It's a little show actually. It's got quite low production, but it's on the Royal Mile. It's about halfway up, and it's called Braiding Children's Hair.
I hear they're doing quite well.
They're doing amazing.
They've prohibitively expensive.
They've got no reviews, but they're the only person making money at this fringe. They've already taken my children's inheritance. It's incredible. It's incredible. So do support that. I don't know. I'm only here for 9 days this year. Because
I need to show off.
No, I'm not showing off.
Why does it look haggard?
The only reason I'm showing off is because I was going to be up for longer, but then I got a smart meter at home, and fuck that, I'm not coming anywhere near it. It's absolutely brutal, isn't it? I think the only way we're going to keep warm in January is to have orgies covered in deep heat.
Could be worse.
Sounds all right.
That's what happens at the end of the show. The doors are locked.
I will give a serious recommendation.
Bring on the deep heat cannons.
Put your goggles on, everyone.
Therapeutic guar gig.
All right, Scott, no recommendation.
No, I have got a recommendation. I always try and see, if I am up here, I always try and say Phil Ellis. Hedgehog. And because Phil's always it's the only show when you're at the fringe you never really get a chance to see as much as you want to do, and when I came up last time it was one of the first shows I saw, and I think it was the one where it was Unplanned Orphan, where he was in this little, it felt like a shipping container. I think it felt like we'd been trafficked for an hour.
Would it cost him $3,000?
Yeah, but what's amazing is, because it's so chaotic, you don't know where the show is or where the chaos is. So I just remember at one point him going through his notes, going, right, so what did happen to my father? What did happen to him? Oh, that's the end of the show. I've given away there. He gave away the end of the show 9 minutes in, but it's just he's just chaos, and I think no one ever makes me laugh as much as Phil Ellis. So yeah,
he is great.
Aww. Yeah, I did a Zoom gig with him where he just showed us his kitchen.
Yeah,
he'd forgotten the gig apparently, so he just showed us like his microwave, his fridge, and it was very compelling. prepared a set, and no one laughed half as much as they did to what he was.
Bit
like,
disappointing if you go to see his fringe show and it's an hour of his kitchen. Yeah, but yeah.
Just a quick one. In the lockdown, we had Zoom calls, a couple of us, and Phil was on a Zoom call, but he was staying at his mum and dad's. He was in lockdown at his mum and dad's flat, and it was grim because he was outside. Because he couldn't get any reception, he had his phone tethered on top of a wheelie bin. it was perfect, Ellis. It was on.
That's very
it
on
was
brand.
On brand.
Very on brand.
Textbook.
Yeah, it was on brand for him. Yeah, it was great.
I've got a couple of free fringe recommendations. First off, some quirky, whimsical stand-up from Leslie Ewing Burgess, Nebula, 1:45 at Pilgrim Bar. It is a lovely, and not enough people are seeing it.
Seconded.
Yeah.
Also,
absolutely
over there
delightful.
And we'll be flyering you after the gig, won't you, Leslie?
Oh, she happens to be in the room. And also today I went to see a lovely show at CC Bloom's. It was at 5:30. It's called Van Gogh Find Yourself. And a man who looks and sounds exactly like Vincent Van Gogh tells you his life story while you do some sketching. It's absolutely beautiful. That's and amazing. Tranquil. And you
How many
feel
years
at peace
has he got?
Afterwards. Most of two.
It's not exactly like him.
No. Well, I didn't look up close, actually. Well, he did have two car seats.
That sounds really relaxing and nice.
It was so lovely. And it really family friendly as well. Okay. Educational and tranquil.
Making out, Mark.
Yeah, my kids are coming out tomorrow. My daughter's going to have her head shaved before she gets in the city.
Honestly, no. Do it. On the border at Gretna Green. Just like a sheep being sheared. Right, next one in now.
Sean Davis. He's on at the Gilded Balloon, 5:40 every night. Before I came up, I hadn't heard of Sean Davis. We'd never worked together before. But Hattie Ashdown said, we're going to go and see this show. So we went. It's one of the best shows I've seen in the Fringe. Well, since I've been coming up here, it's a brilliant show. It's got a perfect arc. You will experience every emotion and you will leave feeling elated. She is not only a brilliant storyteller, but she is incredibly funny as well. It's a fantastic show.
It's called About Time, is it, that show?
That's the one.
It's About Time. Yeah. It's magnificent. And also, yes, Phil Ellis, Hedgehog, which is on at 6:40 at the Caves. It's a good show. Just come. You'll find out why I'm so pleased with it when you do. Come. It's a good show.
Is Tom Wrigglesworth doing a show at the Fringe?
No.
He's had enough.
That's a waste. Yeah.
Tom, we love you, mate.
So a couple of recommendations. My big recommendation, it's not a comedy show, but it's the most incredible spoken word performance I've ever seen in my life. A guy called Jeff Wind. He's doing a show at the Omni Centre at midday. It's called Money Is As Innocent As The Gun. I saw him at Secret Garden Party, and I've never been so fucking intoxicated by a spoken word performance. Like, technically, it's brilliant, just his use of meter and rhyme and stuff, but the passion about this kind of, this analysis of money, of capitalism, and how we've gone wrong, I've never seen. He's the most unassuming guy. You would never think he was doing a show, and it's absolutely fucking fantastic.
The Omni Centre, like by John Lewis there.
So Jeff Wind, Money Is As Innocent As The Gun. It's a free Fringe show. He's only getting like ones and twos in. It's a tough sell, but it's a like genuine little rewire your brain. You've got to go and see that. And also go and see Katie Mitchell doing She Festers. It's a show about grief and loss, but it's also funny as fuck and really surreal and inventive, and has one of my very the bit about the armadillo is one of my very favourite comedy things.
Tweet Andrew about that when you've seen it.
Yeah.
My recommendation is Rich Wilson. You can have it so much better.
Bit cheap to recommend someone else on the panel.
I was gonna get around you all, but now you can go fuck yourselves. aren't you already sold out, Mark?
Yeah.
All right,
mate.
All right.
Also, frankly, does Latitude need to sell any more tickets, Mark?
Rub it in, mate. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
I'm taking the big bucks from Latitude 2016.
I tried to do it without flyers, all right? You need flyers. God damn it, you need flyers. Come to the show.
This was his flyer.
Just come. Just come. It's at night. It's at 9:20 every night at the Caves up the road. It's opposite Bannerman's down there, down Cowgate. If you come, don't go to the ticket office. Just come to the room. All right. I will be there in the corner crying. There's enough chairs for all of you. Just come. Yeah, R.E.M. And then
go to the ticket office. It's quite a vibe, isn't it? I am.
Oh, because it's just Jobsworth's at the ticket office.
It's been
have to give them money.
It has been a fucking nightmare. It's been a nightmare. So just come to the room. We will talk money afterwards. All right. If you don't like it, don't pay. All right. But just come.
I love it.
Those chairs are getting dirty.
Right.
Let's all go tomorrow.
Let's all go tomorrow.
He is really good. He is worth it. Yeah.
Right, let's have a round of applause for our brilliant panel. Round of applause for Joe and Leslie on the tech team and our brilliant Underbelly star. Jenny Ryan is the winner because that's feminism, baby. You are all free to go. Go flyer, go flyer.
Thank you very much, everybody, for coming to the Comedy Arcade. If you're watching this on Next Up, use the code Comedy Arcade. We love you. It won't get you anything, but maybe it'll send a nice message. See you in a bit.
Thanks for listening to the Comedy Arcade. There'll be a new episode next Thursday with new balls and new guests. If you liked it, like us any way you can and subscribe and tell all your friends. Also, tell us. We're in all the usual places on all the social media. And if you didn't like it, I've been Sean Walsh and this is What's Upset You Know. The USP is it's only 15 minutes.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.